Great. Okay, well, it's really lovely to be with you. We were in this vicinity just the other week, actually, over Easter, staying at somewhere nearby. And we always love coming. It's only about an hour's drive anyway for us, but it's nice to come. It's always nice to come to North Norfolk because it's a lovely place to be, isn't it? Really wonderful. So we love being up here. So it's particularly nice to be with you this morning. Now let me just get my little bits going here. Here we go. If you'd like to turn to Ephesians chapter 6, the idea of doing these Relational Mission Sundays is really just partly sort of information and hopefully partly encouragement and vision, just to help you catch a flavour of what the Lord is doing. But it's not like we're doing something that the Bible is unfamiliar with. And when we look at Ephesians 6, Paul has been writing, you know, we all know Ephesians, if you're a Christian or you've read the Bible very much, Ephesians is a very familiar book, isn't it? And there's lots of themes within Ephesians that we're quite familiar with, who we are in Christ, and the sort of the greatness of God's salvation, and the grace of God, and spiritual warfare, and prayer, and all the things, yeah, many, many things. But what is also, and how to live, you know, things that we should stop doing and start doing when we become Christians, that sort of thing. But when we get right towards the end of the book of Ephesians, we actually find some verses that can... We can't just read them as, well, that's just Paul signing off. That's him just saying goodbye. But they're actually quite, they've got some important principles in them that I think helps us this morning when we think about relational mission and who we are together. So in verse 21 of chapter 6, right at the end, it says final greetings in my Bible, but so that sort of helps you see where it is. It says, so that you may know how I am doing, so that you may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I've sent him to you for this very purpose, that you might know how we are and that he might encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Now, it seems to me that this is a really good example of relational mission in the first sort of wave of the Christian church, because Paul isn't just writing a letter to the churches and saying, well, this is some doctrines, here's some things to believe. But he's actually saying, no, it's really important to me that there's a connection between not only what we're doing, so Tychicus will tell you everything, tell you what we're doing so that you can be encouraged, but also tell you how I'm doing. He'll bring you up to date with all the latest news that's going on amongst our family of churches, because Paul served a family of churches. I don't know what his was called. It'd be interesting to know, wouldn't it? But it probably was called something. I mean, there were the Pauline churches. There were churches that Peter oversaw, churches that Paul oversaw, churches that lots of different other apostolic teams oversaw. Because they'd got connection to each other through relationship, through history. Paul had either planted or adopted or helped churches. And so whole families of churches, as the message of Christ began to spread through the known world, churches were planted, people got saved, and they sort of formed themselves into these families of churches, overseen and helped by what was called apostolic teams, led by apostles such as Paul and others. So in these last few verses, he's saying, it's so important to me that there's a personal connection with what we're doing, that I'm even going to send Tychicus to you so that he can encourage you, he can tell you everything that's going on. Paul, obviously, in this case, wasn't able to get there himself, but he didn't think to himself, well, I'll just send you another bit of... you another newsletter. I'll send someone to you. I'll send you Tychicus, part of my team. He can talk to you about how we're doing. Now, what that says to me is that God is not particularly interested just in creating some sort of organization. God's into families. Right? He wants families. His whole church is a family, and you can have families of churches. The way that Paul writes is very family. It's about a journey. It's about the dynamics of relationship. It's personal. It's not a project. Paul's really concerned that everybody's kind of on the same page and involved together. He's concerned that everyone feels part of the journey, part of the sort of bigger narrative. It's important to him that they don't just get caught up in their own local affairs, but they've got a sense of, well, we're connected here and we're connected there, and this is going on over here, and there's this new development over there, and I want you to know all about it. So I'm going to send Tychicus to you so that he can tell you everything about it, so you're not just caught up in your own world. And in verse 21, it's just to look at that. It says, so that you may know how I am and what I'm doing. Paul thought it was so important that they knew what was going on, because they were part of the same family together, and encourage their hearts. Now it's and it's interesting also that he also said in the previous verses, pray in verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that the words may be given me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. So you see again, Paul's concerned with the big picture and then with individuals, and it's great that we just were able just to pray for James and Anish and Allison, that God will really bless them, help them with all the weight of responsibility that they carry, and that you as a church understand that you've got a key role in facilitating a big agenda beyond here. Now, some of you might think, well, I don't really know much about everything that's going on, but I'm excited to think that as a church we could have impact beyond our own locality. Well, what the team here are doing affects probably 70 or more churches and 5,000 more people, and that's a really important role that you've got, that we're helping serve church planting, conferences and training, all that sort of stuff. You're involved in that. And Paul really wanted the church here that he was writing to in Ephesus, he wanted them to know what was going on in the bigger world and what was also going on with him. So what I wanted to do very quickly this morning is just to sort of tell you a few things that are going on in our world, tell you a few things that we believe God's beginning to speak to us about, things that I think different ones of you will get more and more involved in. It's going to be a little bit practical, but I kind of feel that when we look at the principle in Scripture we've just looked at, that actually it's important sometimes to just press a little bit of a pause button on an expository understanding of what did happen, and actually say, well, this is happening for us. There's some stuff here that we need to really do what Paul did with Tychicus, and just say to them, look, you need to know everything that's going on. I'll send someone to you to tell you. So let me just tell you a few things about what I believe God is doing amongst us. I mean, the first thing to say is that relational mission, I'm going to assume sort of nothing here at the moment. Relational mission is a family of churches that's what we've called ourselves, but we've been birthed out of the New Frontiers family. Now, New Frontiers is the family of churches that's been going for 30 years, and there's probably 1,500 churches across the world now, part of New Frontiers, and that's still the larger family we're part of. But as Terry Virgo, who was leading New Frontiers, is now sort of at kind of retirement age or age where he just needs to hand over and think about the future of the family, he thought, well, I need to hand it over either to a successor or I need to hand it over to lots of different people who can have their own families. And he chose that latter route. He thought, well, if I just give a successor, then it'll just become an organization. It'll become less and less connected personally with people. So what he chose to do was to identify people who he thought were already beginning to operate in a sort of an apostolic way, and then just encourage them, say, you get on with what God's begun to do with you. So ourselves, we found that name, Relational Mission. Lots of other spheres have all got their families of church, have all got their own names now, and they're in different parts of the world. I think there's probably about 15 or 20 families of churches now, across different parts of the world. We don't even actually know now how many churches there are in New Frontiers because it's all got so big, even in the last 5 years. It's multiplied more and more. So we're part of something that's really, I think, moving into a whole new level of gospel impact. Now, with that, it means that the phrase we like to use is that we have got a compass, but we don't have a map. Now, I don't know if any of you like that kind of orienteering, but I prefer a map, personally. I like to know where I turn left here, turn right here, go straight ahead. We've even got sat navs. You just tell it where you want to go, and I've got no idea where it's taking me. I just do what it tells me. That's just fine. I mean, wouldn't it be great if life was like that? You know, just someone tells you what to do all the time. Well, my wife does that, but you know what I mean? It's just someone who just takes all the responsibility out of decision making. This is left, right, this is where you'll get. I don't know how I got here, but I know I'm here. But life, following Jesus, isn't like a sat-nav. It is more like there's a compass. There are values, there's principles, there's teaching, there's doctrines, there's things that God's put in his word that we should obey. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Your word is not a sat-nav, right? It's a light. God shows his light on our path, and he expects us then to walk in the direction that the path, a safe path that's illuminated for us. Now that applies to us personally and individually, decisions we make every day, what we do at work, what we do in our families, how we conduct our own personal affairs, all of those things, we make choices according to the light of God's word. That's why becoming a Christian is not just believing something, it's doing something, it's following Jesus. Jesus said, follow me. That implies that we walk carefully behind him in keeping in step with him. But the same is true for us as a family of churches, because this is a whole new world for us. We've never done this before. I'm often saying to people, I don't really know how to do this because we've never done it. But I do know that God's asked us to do it. So we just begin to take that step forward. And so for us, I think the context I want to paint right at the beginning is, you might be very familiar, you might have been in this church for many years, you might be very familiar with the name New Frontiers. You might be a new Christian, you might have only been here a little while. This is a whole new phase we are in. It is not like 30 more years of what we've had. This is something completely different. We've got to cut new paths through fresh, as it were, jungle terrain. We've got to find fresh new ways of reaching everyone around us who doesn't know Jesus, because the issues that were the issues 30 years ago are not necessarily the prevailing issues now. I don't know if you find that when you talk to your neighbours, friends or colleagues at work. People are asking different questions to what they did 30 years ago, generally speaking, is what I would find. So we've got to be very careful and diligent to say, Lord, help us to navigate what you want us to do on a mission with you. So there's a compass, but there's not a map. This is unfamiliar. It's new ground. That makes us cast very much on the Lord's mercy to say, Lord, show us what to do. Do we go left? Do we go right? How do we do this? So that's the setting, which is one of the reasons why one of the main things we're doing at the moment that I'd really want to encourage all of you to keep getting involved in when it comes along is the Enough prayer meeting. So how many of you have been to an Enough prayer meeting? Okay, that's great. So that's quite a lot of you. Now, I hope you realize that when you get in your... You take a coach over, don't you, some of you? Yeah, that's fantastic. I was really impressed with that. When you take your coach over and join at Norwich, and there's quite a lot of you at Norwich, there's around about 2,000 people doing the same thing in different places. Now, I think that's quite extraordinary, because prayer is one of the hardest things, I think, to kind of learn how to do, to feel comfortable doing, to kind of feel competent with. I mean, how many of you find prayer, you know, it's challenging, isn't it? Sometimes I find it is as a Christian, think, oh, am I doing this right? And then you lose concentration or you know, prayer is a bit tough. But to actually think, goodness, we're getting 2,000 people on a Friday night seeking God for him to move amongst our family of churches and beyond to really open up the mission for us into the places he wants us to go. I believe only God can begin to do that. That's not something we can just encourage people to do by good marketing. So prayer has become really an engine room. Large-scale prayer is becoming an engine room for everything we are doing. And I genuinely believe that God is going to keep adding to this enough prayer thing. We're starting to get inquiries from other streams, even other denominations, other networks beyond New Frontiers, as well as other spheres within New Frontiers. And my hope would be, well, we may have 2,000 now. Why not 20,000? Wouldn't that be incredible? Because there's not many. It's been a long while since we've seen large-scale corporate prayer in our nation, of the kind of scale that used to be seen, you know, perhaps 100 or more years ago. So prayer is going to be really important. So when the next enough comes up, I'd really love you to be there again. Keep coming. Keep getting involved in it. So prayer is really important. The next thing that we're really feeling very stirred about is the whole thing of the phrase, and you'll hear this phrase over the coming months, is everyone a witness. Now, the reason we want to emphasize that is that perhaps for the last 30 years, our emphasis in New Frontiers has been very much about restoring the local church. When I first became a Christian at the age of 17, 18, I walked into a local church situation, and it was like walking back into Victorian England. It was terrible. It was just like a time warp. You walked in, and everything, it was like a museum. And you thought to yourself, this is just completely irrelevant to my life. And I used to be part of an evangelistic organization involved in Youth for Christ, and we used to get quite a lot of people come to know Jesus. Many people made decisions to follow Christ. And then you'd bring them along to the church on a Sunday morning, and it was really not helpful. And you were thinking, what do we do with these people? Because you bring them to church, and then we used to lose most of them because they come to church, and it was irrelevant. It was kind of just completely locked in legalism and all kinds of. So it was in that context that New Frontiers and other movements like it came into being. It was a desire to diligently try our best to restore the local church to a sense, to at least something a bit more approaching New Testament values. And many of you have been on that journey. You're here. That's why this church was planted. It was a diligent attempt to say, let's try and be as biblical as we can. I'm not saying we're perfect. I'm not saying we've learnt it all. There's still many things we've got to learn. But 30 years on, church now, generally speaking, you can go into a town or a city in most places and find a good church. That isn't true. That wouldn't have been true 30 years ago. It is true now. Yeah, that would be pretty much true. So the challenge now is not so much about creating a good framework for local church life. We mustn't lose that. We've got to keep making sure we build diligently to Scripture and scriptural values. I think the challenge now is this. How do we reach the broken world that's surrounding us so that the people today who are not in here actually know that there is a Savior who loves them and a Savior who can help them with all the issues that they're struggling with? That, to me, is the massive challenge. Would you agree? And to me, that's the kind of thing that's driving me at the moment. So that's one of the reasons why we're doing the prayer things enough, because we need a move of God. I mean, we don't need clever ideas. We need a move of God. We need God to move in this nation and across Western Europe, because what is happening globally is that the gospel is making massive, massive impact in the global south and the global east. Massive, huge, huge. Thousands and thousands of people coming to Christ, churches being planted. What's happening in the south and the east of the globe and what's happening in the west bear no resemblance to each other. So we can sit here this morning and thinking, yeah, well, we're kind of getting a few gains every now and again. There's a few people showing interest. We have one or two baptisms, and yeah, there's things going on. We're kind of holding our own, but we long for more. I tell you, some parts of the world, we are in mass revival at the moment. I want to see that in the west, don't you? I want to see something happen here that overtakes us. So we think, how do we cope with all that God is doing? Now, I'm convinced that there's two things that are going to bring that about. One is prayer, and keep praying and keep praying and keep praying collectively on a large scale until something happens. And secondly, it's about having our whole orientation in life much more geared towards those who are not presently sitting in this room. Now, that means that we have to be much more culturally adjusted to people who are not here, thinking, okay, how can we bring the gospel to people in a way that's going to really help them to go on their journey to find Jesus? And so the things that are really important, I think, in that are words, works, and wonders, very simply. Our words, your story of how you came to know Jesus is more powerful than you probably think it is. If you know Jesus this morning, you are a walking miracle. There's something about your life and your story that is actually miraculous. You might think it's not very miraculous, but it is. If you have come to know Jesus, something incredible has happened in your life. And that story is worth telling. You might think, well, I'm not sure that when I talk to my friends, when I talk to my colleagues at work or my neighbors, I'm not sure I can really bring people through to a point of commitment to Jesus. You don't need to worry about that. Just tell people your story and let the Holy Spirit do his work. You might be just one little link in the chain that will link to lots of other links. And imagine if all of us are telling our stories and through our testimony, giving people an indication of just what's happened in our lives. That's going to be very powerful. And the more of us do that, the more I believe God will touch the lives of other people. Then it's through works, like hearing about your Easter club, just being good news in the community, blessing the community, helping your neighbor, helping, you know, just being kind to people. Kindness is very powerful. There's not a lot of it about in the world, is there? But do you think, well, it doesn't sound very powerful, I'll change the world through kindness. Let's try it. I mean, people are trying lots of other things, it doesn't seem to be working. Kindness is very powerful, just showing mercy to people. And that's been one of the things I've been journeying on a little bit recently, where there are people who don't deserve mercy, just giving it to them, and they kind of scratch their heads thinking, why are you being nice? Well, you might not feel like being nice, but actually I'm being nice because I want to show you mercy. There's a lot that we can do in just being kind to people, just showing the love of God that goes beyond what people would expect. And then wonders. I think much more we need to be more and more comfortable with just learning to pray for people in whatever situation they're in. Just to simply say, would you be willing for me just to pray for you? Because I've seen God touch lives in many ways. I'm just doing that more and more and more now. And do you know what? The amazing thing is, the more and more I pray for people, the more and more I'm seeing things happen. Now, why is that? Well, it's just because I'm simply doing it more. And just giving God more and more of an opportunity. So prayer, everyone a witness, really important. Then we've got training things, trying to raise up a whole new generation. There's training programs we're doing, lead. And some of you perhaps may feel a sense of call on your lives just to serve God in some way. You might want to think about getting involved in that. And elders here can tell you about that. There's 18s to 30s programs we're launching. There's all that kind of stuff. We've got church planting happening in different places. And I felt for you this morning, I just wanted to encourage you that over the years, you've been very good as a local church at supporting church planting. You've had really good supply lines, particularly thinking of Vlada and Sonia in Niche. You've been so good and just faithfully and consistently serving them over the years. And I just felt the Lord, I think it was the Lord anyway, but I felt this morning prompted that the Lord's going to give you another supply line somewhere. It's going to become something just very obvious. You won't have to force it. You won't have to sort of make it happen or try and strain at it. But just something will develop that will enable you as a church to do what you have done very well over the years, which is to just to pour in, not just about finance, but actually just support of relationship, of encouragement, of just strength and standing alongside a situation that is just needing is in the early days of needing to flourish. I believe God's going to do that. And some of you will find yourselves going backwards and forwards to this place. I think that might happen in other places. You've always been a church that's really got stuck in to wherever we've been working. And I believe that's part of your DNA. And the other thing perhaps just to say that's really important to us, just to give you an example of what I think is happening, what we're doing together, is Pathways from Poverty. You may have heard of that phrase, where one of the ways we started to make an impact with that is at Christmas, having Christmas offerings. And working particularly with Edward Buria in Kenya, in the last few years we've taken up offerings at Christmas, just in Christmas carol services, and raised, you know, quite a lot of money, £20,000-£30,000 at a time, being able to bless so many people in Kenya. So we've been able to start, I think, over 70 businesses now, just little micro-enterprises, people keeping goats or fish or rabbits or, you know, little corner stores. We lend the money to people, they have a business loan. When the business is going, the money's paid back, then it's lent out again. So the money just keeps being recycled, more and more people just being empowered out of poverty. And then recently we've been doing this community empowerment program, which takes orphans and vulnerable children, places them with families in local church, and then sponsors their education so that they're able to actually have an education through life. That doesn't cost very much money at all, but yet we've been able to do that for more and more people. Now, the reason I mention that just an example is I think it's such a buzz. I get such a buzz out of the fact that I can be sitting in my home church in Lowestoft, you know, a coastal town on the east of England, and you can look out at the needs of the world. You might see the news or read the papers or just kind of feel, how can I make a difference to some of the major issues in the world? Well, by being a family of churches together, where we have relationship with others like Edward in Kenya, we can actually touch the lives of young children who would not have an education, who would not have a family, and just simply giving a little bit of money, we can transform a life. I get a real buzz out of that, don't you? I think that's an incredible opportunity of something we can do together. So that kind of stuff's going on. Now, the other thing that, just sort of to bring things into land, and then I'd just like to pray for you as a church, and to pray for us, to an opportunity just to pray for us together in what God's calling us to, is the last little bit of what Paul says. He says, so that you may know what I'm doing, but also so that you may know how I am. So he's actually talking to friends and saying, look, this isn't just about some sort of head office thing where, you know, you just sent out a magazine and this is what's going on. This is actually about friends doing things together. And every one of us has got a contribution. And I believe God has got big plans for us. He's got big plans. There's things that he wants you to do, things that he wants you and I to do. And God always wants us to do far more than we think ourselves capable of. My testimony would be this, that God has continued to ask me to do things I never thought I'd be capable of seeing happen. I think that's what God does with whole churches. He kind of presents a vision that you think, wow, I don't know if we can do that. Well, that's what makes him God. If he presented you with a vision that you could do, well, you actually wouldn't need God, would you? It's the very glory of God to do things through weak human vessels, so that we say, well, look at what God did through us, through our simple, ongoing obedience. And I think that two or three of the things perhaps that you could perhaps be praying for me and for the team working with me, I think one of them, and this would certainly affect James as well, is that when I was actually in Serbia last summer with Vlada and Sonia and their team, one of the guys there who I'd never met him before, but he just brought this prophecy to me. And he said, there's this river and there's lots of bits of paper floating down this river. And he said, it's like, and then they come to this dam, this weir, and then only a few of the bits of paper make it over into the next bit of the river. And he said, I think there's an enemy plan to overwhelm you and the team working with you with lots of things to think about, lots of bits of paper. There's all lots of information flowing down the river, and it's getting more and more and more. But God is arresting it by his Spirit, and the Lord will arrange it in such a way that only the most important bits come over the river, come over the waterfall, and you'll know what are the things you're supposed to concentrate on. And I found that really helpful because, as you can imagine, you know, we're fairly early in the journey as a family of churches trying to get ourselves organized. I have to say, I don't know quite what I'd do without James, to be honest, because, I mean, he just is extraordinary. He just, you know, solves things. But even James has a capacity. And I think in the last few years, our momentum, things that God's doing, it's just got to the point where we can see these bits of paper in the river and thinking, Lord, which are the ones to concentrate on? So I think if you can pray for us, God, show us where the key things, which parts of the world do we work in? Not every door should be a door you go through. Where do we put our emphasis in the UK? Where do we put our emphasis in the mainland of Europe? So praying for that, I think, is really important. And notice that Paul is not afraid to ask for personal prayer. He says, pray also for me that words be given me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. So Paul's not afraid to say, look, I really need your prayers. If God's going to really use us, I need you to pray that God will do something supernatural. So I'm not afraid to say, I could do with your prayers. We could do with your prayers as a team. Keep praying for James and Anise and Alison. Keep praying for all of those of us who are involved in what God is doing, because I think that is that's the air supply. And when God has big plans, you can be sure the enemy has big plans as well. And the only way we defeat the enemy's plans is through prayer and through diligent obedience. So then perhaps the last thing just to say in terms of things to sort of highlight to you this morning is on your chairs, probably most of you will got one of these little grassroots giving cards. If you can just see if you can find one of those at the moment. One of the ways that Relational Mission is funded is every church that's part of Relational Mission gives some of its income into the pot together. So Lowestoft, where I'm based, we give 10% of our income straight into Relational Mission. Lots of other churches do that. Some churches don't give as much as that because they're supporting church plants or other things that we're doing. So it's not like a, you know, it's not a forced thing, but that's kind of where we sort of suggest that happens. But so much has been going on, and so much is happening in terms of expansion and church plants and having to supply those. I was with Morris this week in the Netherlands, and you know, just being around three or four of the churches there. But even just to do that, you know, it costs money to fly there or get a ferry, or and, you know, there's stuff involved just in serving churches, just in just being around, just trying to help people, help churches sort of work through issues. So churches is the main, churches giving is one of the main ways. But what we felt God speaking to us about was, wouldn't it be great if all of us individually at grassroots level could really get involved in giving as well? So what we're suggesting, and I've done this myself and my wife's done this as well, we're suggesting that if you go onto the website address that's on the back, what we're trying to get is 1,000 people to commit to give £5 a month. We don't want any more than £5, right? So it's just simply the price of perhaps a cup of coffee and a newspaper, right? It's just £5 a month. And if it's gift-aided, even better. But don't give any more than £5. I mean, if you want to come and give me £1 million, that's great, but you don't need to do it through this, right? But so just £5 a month. We thought if we could get 1,000 people to do that, actually all the budget shortfall that we've got would be wiped out in one go. So that's a simple way where you can really get involved in Relational Mission. You can think, well, £5 a month, that's not going to really make a lot of difference. That's just one less cup of coffee or something. But it would make a massive difference in planting churches, putting on even the enough prayer meetings. They cost, you know, a couple of £1,000 to organise every time we do one of those. You think, crikey, does a prayer meeting cost money? Yes, it does, because there's all sorts of stuff that goes with it. So if you could really have a think about that, I mean, if you can take that card with you, go home. If you've got a computer after the meetings today, go home, log on to that. Just do it while it's fresh in your mind. As I say, I've done it. You know, we've signed up just to sort of put my money where my mouth is, as it were. I think we've got about 100 people signed up at the moment, which is a fairly new sort of thing. So there's only 900 to go. You could get us down to the perhaps 850. That would be great. I mean, if 50 people signed up this morning, that'd be brilliant. So that's a very, very practical thing. Now, I know that's sort of probably quite a an unusual kind of Sunday morning. You think, okay, not really done much to do with sort of scripture or whatever, but I'm just trying to show you a principle in scripture that Paul was in partnership with churches, and he was saying, look, I want to tell you what's going on. I want to tell you how I'm doing. I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray for us. So what we're doing really is we're just trying to take the model that Paul's left us in the New Testament, which is very much a family together And we all, you know, we've got different relationships with different churches. Some of you know other churches better than you know some of the other ones. Some of you know, even in a local church, you know some people better than you know others. So we're not always going to know everybody in relational mission. But over time, I'm trusting that as we build up momentum, as we do our best to communicate well with you, then we will together feel a real sense of, no, we're in this, we're really making a difference, and we're so pleased to be part of something together. So if you'd like to stand with me, I'd just like to pray for you as a church, for your part in the future of what God's called us to do. I'm not sure what time we're supposed to finish, is it about now? Ish. All right, okay. Yeah, Father, I just want to thank you for the history of this church, Lord. I thank you so much that this church has been right at the heart of everything we've been doing for the last 30 years, Lord. And I thank you that we are in a new day with a new chapter. A new page has turned. You've got new things for each of us to do. For some of us, Lord, you've got new places for us to go. You've got new things for us to do. Lord, thank you that the journey you call us to isn't a journey that's the same. There's always new land to take in you. There's always new things to do for you. Thank you, Lord, that you have a calling on the life of every single person in this church. There's something that you want every one of us to give our lives to, that it might be fruitful for you. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for this church. I want to pray for this church, Lord, that you would break out here with fresh fruitfulness, Lord. I pray the gospel would begin to be even more fruitful in this next season here, Lord. I pray for the influence, Lord, of this church in the community. I pray for broken lives to be mended, for people to find refuge here in this church from situations, from even from people. Lord, I pray there would be a refuge, Lord, that you establish here, like Noah's Ark, where people ran and they were safe. They were kept safe, Lord. I believe, Lord, that you have many people you want to bring into this church whose testimony will be, I was afraid and I ran here. Somehow I ran here for help and I found Jesus. I found the Savior. Lord, I believe, Lord, even in a tranquil part of the country like North Norfolk, there are people who are afraid. There are people who carry fear in their lives, all sorts of fears. And I pray, Lord, that this place, this church, would be an amazing place where fear is removed from lives, where people come to have a remarkable sense of the peace of God, keeping them from all harm, from all concern. Lord, I pray that there would be an anointing that is brought through this church to people who are filled with fear and concern and worry. Lord, let there be a real ministry from this church into the lives of troubled hearts. Lord, I pray for what we're called to together. Lord, I pray for any new supply lines you want to bring out of this church into different nations or different parts of this nation. I pray it would become obvious. I pray you'd raise up even more leaders here, Lord, that some of whom can stay and take weight here, others who can be sent to other places. Lord, would you raise up more and more people here? We're asking you, Lord, that the next phase for the church here, Lord, but might be even more glorious than anything we've seen before. We're asking you, Lord, that as we pray, as we give ourselves to large-scale prayer across all the churches, Lord, we pray, Holy Spirit, move here. I pray for a fresh move of God in this place. Holy Spirit, outpourings, healings, encounters with God, things that cannot be explained by human planning. Lord, we ask you to overtake this church's agenda with your agenda increasingly in the days ahead. Lord, would you do that? We ask it for your glory. Lord, we pray for one another. We pray that nothing would hinder us from running the race that you've marked out for us personally. Anyone who's here this morning who's feeling just kind of, I'm not sure whether I can keep going, Lord, I pray, give them strength to keep following you. even in difficult circumstances, difficult family circumstances, difficult personal turmoil in their hearts. Lord, keep helping people to make the right choices and follow you, and just keep leaning on you, even in times of dark, difficult pressures. Lord, I pray no one will be lost from your agenda here, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd keep everybody. I pray you'd even bring back others who've backslidden, who've wandered away. Lord, there are people who've been lost. I pray bring them back in. They've been lost to this church. Bring them back in, Lord, for your glory. We're asking you, Lord, to create a movement of prayer and of petition to you so that your purposes again break out in this community. Lord, we're asking you, just keep blessing what you're doing. Bless the Christianity Explored course. Let there be more numbers coming in of people exploring, wanting to know about Jesus. We ask you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you up for that? Yeah. Well, let's see what God will do. Just to say, after the meeting, I'm quite happy. Just if anyone's unwell or you'd like prayer in any way, I'd just like to, you know, pray for people who are sick in any way. So if you're in pain or illness or anything, I'll just hang around at the front here. If you don't mind waiting, if there's a few people to pray for, then I'd just love to pray for you. So anyway, that's when we're finished. Yeah.